Africans doing great things.
Indeed, South Africans doing great things. And my guest, as I had said, is already ready to take on this huge task of telling us where they come from, how did they get to where they are right now. This is a young lady who was also featured for the News 24 Next Young Nelson Mandela of the Future 2019. Also at the top 100 South Africa, shining stars in science and technology in 2019, top 50 South Africa inspiring women in STEM 2019, Africa Female Innovator of the Year, of the Year finalist in 2019. There are so many accolades, but Sibongile Mungadi is my guest. Sibongile, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Good evening, Thabo. How are you?
I am free. Thank you for asking. I'm wondering, how are you? Are you good? How's everything going for you, especially in the new year?
I'm good. Thank you. Can't complain. And good evening to 702 listeners.
Sure. I mean, let's start right at the end. Your company is called Ukhamba Property Limited. It produces lightweight prosthetics. Tell us about it, and we'll touch on other issues. I just want us for you to sell this company for us so that we can understand who we are speaking to. What do you guys do from day to day? You wake up, go to work, and do what?
Oh, okay, so I'm speaking to Sibongile Mungadi, founder of a startup company called Ukhamba. So Ukhamba is actually an African word meaning mobility. And the full name of the company is Ukhamba Prosthetics and Artics. So we are into your biomanufacturing and tech healthcare. So what we actually do, we actually produce your customized and lightweight and water resistance, affordable prosthetics and artics for the less privileged amputees and those that are living with physical disabilities. So that's what we do in the nutshell. And then we use this, obviously, with your advanced technologies to fasten the turnaround time instead of users or amputees waiting for, you know, a lengthy waiting period of 5 years or more. But we are able to determine this, you know, in a period of a day or even 15 minutes. It actually depends with the design.
Are you physically in the production element of it? Where in the value chain are you mostly occupying?
So currently, like we'd say, like we are into your innovation and then like working with different institutions such as University of Johannesburg and also UCT Med Technology, doing all our R&DP. So currently we are in the space where we are like really, really innovating, trying to come up with different designs, because what we also understood is that what is existing in the market is that it's like when they produce, they do one size fit all, you know, and they don't like produce it according to the client's needs. It's like when they go to the hospital, they'll give them a prosthetic just for the sake of, you know, he or she does not have a leg, you know.
Yeah.
So in our understanding, when we came to the market, it was like, okay, we just want to bridge the gap, you know, and try to fasten the turnaround time, but not just also to fasten the turnaround time, but also make it more accessible in the sense that it becomes more affordable, but not just also more affordable, but also producing something that it shouldn't be just a tool for a user to use to walk or whatever, but be something that will be so personalized in a sense that even if he or she is actually wearing it, but an amputee is actually able to overcome disability in a psychological level. So that's how we came about of something like, rather let's customize this, meaning that we cater according to their needs. Because sometimes you will find someone, he or she might have a prosthetics, but you will find that it's too heavy for them to actually wear. Or maybe this person is into sport, but whenever he went to the public sector and accessed this, he was actually not being asked to say, what is the purpose for you to actually need this prosthetics? What are you going to use it for? You know, they'll just give him that prosthetics because he or she needs one. So that's what we're actually trying to actually eliminate. So in a nutshell, where we see ourselves in this value chain, we are in our innovation because already we're a team of young people. We are not even over 35, so we are all still like a youth, you know. So most definitely it's like innovation, disruptors. That's what we are all about.
So your main focus, is it the designing thereof? Because, I mean, there's also 3D designing that we will chat about. But do you confine your work only to designing? But after designing, are you also involved in the actual production or manufacturing?
Yes, yes. Like, we are actually in the space of processing, because it's like we actually design and produce and supply to different customer segmentation.
Yeah.
But then also the other thing is... I think that something that will cover as some of our challenges, right?
Mm.
Because currently, like now, what we're actually doing, we're like taking pre-orders, you know, because there's certain things that we also have to overcome as a business as well when it comes to compliance and regulation and so much red tapes, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll come to that in a short while. Let's look at the market. It must be really huge. And as far as I am understanding you, you are saying that you want to tailor make it to a specific need of a patient. It's not one size fits all, and it's not just about pushing the numbers. You want to involve yourselves, because it also speaks to the issue of comfortability. Is that your niche? Is that how you enter the market with that specific need in mind that you want to fill? And is that your salient feature?
Yes, and also like affordability, because currently, for one, let's say if you are unemployed, Thabo, and then also you are actually amputated, because also this amputation differs. Other people are born with amputation, others they get amputated due to sugar diabetes. Due to sugar diabetes, others is due to road accidents. So it actually differs, right? But then now what happens to you when you were actually literally born without a leg or a hand, and you also come from a less privileged background where your parents are also not working? So it also becomes a burden, because one way or the other is that it means you will be limited when it comes to employment. You will be limited even if it comes to education. So that's what we're actually trying to also bridge as well, to say that how do you also make it more affordable, in a sense that even those that are currently unemployed, but that be the family or be the community, that people, those people can also be able to say that, okay, we also need one, you know. That's how we also come. It's not about also just more of a design, but also we also understood the market where we even like every now and then we keep on doing our R&DP, where we actually research different types of materials that can actually be used. So the market currently, as we are playing in this market and entering this market, we are so more also into eco-friendly materials, where using your recyclable material, water bottles and whatnot. And when we use such material and also these advanced technology, it actually, it's proven that it can be done like in a cost-effective manner, you know, instead of people, because it's also insane. Imagine if you're unemployed, then you have to purchase a prosthetic like 500,000 or 200,000, where would you get that money?
So money is a very serious issue in this. We'll come to it, because affordability is a serious issue in a country such as ours. And you know, disability knows no boundaries. It happens to every single person. Well, not every person, but it happens across board. But here's I just wanted to find out from you. There are stats that show that between 2021 to 2031, your industry will grow, and it's projected to be growing at about 17%, faster than average of all occupations. That is the prosthetists in industry. So I'm thinking your market in this instance, it means that it is underserviced. Is that the case? Do you feel that there are more customers than the supplies?
Yes, so true. Because currently, as we're also looking at the stats, in South Africa, like we're sitting with more than 3 million amputees. Mm. And currently, it's only like 30.5% that have access to prosthetic care, and we're sitting with 69.5% that don't have any form of access to these prosthetics. So it's like already the 70% of our people, they don't have access to this. And also, according to World Health Organization, it's also estimated that it's only 1 out of 10 in low-income countries that have access to these form of prosthetics.
I'm speaking to Sibongile Mongadi. It's 22 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're on 702. My name is Thabo Shole Mashau. And the feature is South Africans doing great things. And in this particular feature, we look at amazing work done by ordinary South Africans. And we have invited Sibongile Mongadi under these circumstances to tell us about the work that she does. And she's a founder of Ukhamba. And they are looking at, amongst others, prosthetics, and they are for amputees living with disability. And it's a very niche market. It could be that you are interested in the industry, you want to ask a question or two. It could be that you are living with a disability and you fall amongst those who are not fortunate enough to have been given or being provided with prosthetic leg, arm, and so on. And it's a very interesting element of business that this young lady decided to go into. And speaking of which, Sibongile, let's take four steps back. I'm wondering, did you just grow up and thinking, hey, one day I want to do this? How did you come across prosthetics?
To be honest, from my grade one until matric, I did math and science. So one way or the other, I wanted to see myself in the medical space because when I grew up, I wanted to be a doctor.
Okay.
But due to other circumstances, like I come from a family of 8 siblings, and including my late parents, I'm like, we're from a family of 10 siblings. Sorry, a family of 10, you know. So I come from a big family. And also, like, I'm a 6th child at home. So by that time when I completed my matric and wanted to further my studies, due to financial constraint, I couldn't actually further my studies because I was also raised, both my parents are late now, and they were both self-employed, where my late dad actually drove kids to school and my mom used to sell sweets at school, you know. So in terms of entrepreneurship, I've adapted that from both my parents, you know, because they were both self-employed and they will do whatever it takes to put food on the table, you know. And then I was actually, after my matric, I was offered an opportunity to a bursary to actually further IT at CTI. So for one reason, I thought that, okay, I wanted to grab it, but for some other reason, I was like, no, because it couldn't cover most of other things that I also needed. Then I was like, it means that it will, you know, become a challenge as well, because already I'm not privileged enough, you know, financial-wise, you're not a kid at home and whatnot. Then I was like, okay, then it means that I'll rather look for a job and then try to study part-time. But then, by then, I couldn't study anything that under the field of medicine part-time, because usually when you take such courses, it means that you need to be full-time, you know, the campus and whatnot. So I had to venture into your marketing and do entrepreneurship. Then until when I actually had a gum infection, which was back in 2018. But before then, I also have your engineering background, where I did your what you call additive manufacturing engineering as well. So then 2018, if not mistaken, I had a gum infection. So I actually visited my local clinic, right, because I was working in one of the financial institutions as a broker consultant. And then I had this gum infection. Then I went to my local clinic. They actually, like, you know, they were able to treat me. But one of the doctors was like, okay, as much as I'm able to treat this and whatnot, but I just want you to go to one of the local hospitals, you know. I'll give you this letter. And he actually wrote a note for me and said, the reason why I actually want you to go to one of the local hospitals, it's because here at the clinic, we don't have, like, you know, enough resources such as your x-ray. So I want you to actually go for an x-ray so that they can see what could be the cause of this infection, you know, because we can see that you do have a gum infection, but we don't know what's the cause of it. Then indeed, I was given an appointment. Then I went to my local hospital. Once I was there, then that's where, you know, this scenario where I saw an amputee was sitting on a wheelchair, and then he was like fuming, saying that he's been waiting for more than 5 years trying to access a prosthetic limbs, but with no help. And so on that day, literally, I forgot that I was also in pain, you know. Then I was like, okay, yesterday it might not be me, but what if it could be me or one of my loved ones, you know? Then I just greeted him and also tried to understand what's the problem, you know. Then that's where, because he was having this conversation with one of the admin at the hospital. So I actually intervened, and he said, yes, I've been on the waiting list. I'm trying to access this. It's been more than 5 years. Then I was shocked. More than 5 years? Why? And he was like, I don't know, you know, but every time, like, they will tell me stories over and over, same story over and over again, and I'll have to turn back home. Then I asked the clerk, is it true? Then the clerk was like, yeah, it's true, but I don't have a final say. I actually work here as, you know, a help desk and whatnot, you know. Then I was like, okay, can I see, like, someone who's responsible from the orthopedic side and whatnot? Then they actually, like, said, okay, yeah, if you go straight there, and they showed me one of the surgeons there. I actually met the surgeon, and I actually greeted him. I spoke to him, and he said, yeah, this is true. But sadly is that as a hospital as well, there's lack of skills in the space, lack of resources as well, and also, like, rely on exports and imports. And also the other thing is that as a hospital, as much as we produce this, we also have, like, it's like we tend to be like a main supplier as well, because not all hospitals actually have the capability to actually produce prosthetics. They also rely on us, you know, so that's why it becomes a challenge. You know, then I was like, okay, I understand, but it's still insane when our people come to, you know, at hospital but hoping to get help.
So the need, is that what pushed you? The need that you saw there at the hospital?
Yes.
And then after all of those things, did you then start a company specifically? It must have been difficult, right? You starting this company. Where did you start? Where? What was the first brick that you put down to say, I will start here? Of course, you need to register a company, but who did you call to come and assist you?
So how I actually started, so from that very same day, from that scenario, I actually asked, can I witness their manufacturing process? They allowed me. So from there, I knew that, okay, one way or the other, there must be something that I can do. Then that's how, like, I was like, okay, I can use my engineering skills and see how can I best solve this. So then when I actually got home, then I met other people that are also living with the same challenge. Then I also encountered that, okay, the problem is the same, man. Then that's how I was like, okay, I started my R&DP, doing more research and trying to understand. But then I do not know where to actually start, right? But I was fortunate because both my parents were entrepreneurs themselves. So my mom was like, but you can just start by, you know, using one of the rooms at the back, and then you can have your laptop or whatever it is. You can use that space at the back. Then that's how I actually started, you know, started with my laptop. Then I started, you know, registering the company.
Yeah.
But again, it was not easy because remember, this thing is just an idea.
Sure.
And then I could see that's the problem that I want to solve. But if I have to go to different funders, institutions, and try to convince them, these guys, this is a problem, this is what I want to solve and whatnot, it was not easy. They will be like, we can hear you and we can see there's a demand. But problem is, what is it that we don't have something tangible that you can show us that you can definitely solve this problem? You know? So it was a problem. And by then, I did not even have access to any machinery such as your 3D printing and whatnot. So I had to go to your Rosemary Park, Rose Library Park at YTT Chabavu in Soweto. And I tried to access one. But then I was able to access the 3D printer, but unfortunately it was too small. It couldn't produce something that would be functional, right? So I would still take that small leg and use that when I go to, you know, different people, trying to convince them
asking
and whatnot.
Asking for money, using it as a sample of sorts to show them.
Yeah, but it still was a challenge because they will be like, but this is still like a low fidelity prototype kind of thing because it's not functional. It's still not convincing, you know. I will even sketch it on some papers and whatnot. So that's how the journey actually started.
Sure.
Until I think in 2020, if not mistaken, then I had to present at Black Management Forum. Then that's where, like, I came first place winner, and then we got like a seed grant of 100K.
Yeah.
Then from there, we're able to at least buy our machinery like your 3D print and whatnot. Then in that way, we were able now to try and say, from the ones that we're actually designing, you know, then we're able to at least try to have different, you know, socket for showcasing and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's when now people started to, you know, understand and see what is it that one is actually trying to achieve. Till today, it's not easy, you know.
I can imagine. Don't worry. We have the entire 30 minutes, so we'll touch on those things. We'll come to them one by one and go through them properly. 011-883 0702. I just want to give our listeners an opportunity to also talk to you. I don't want them to think that I'm stealing you away for myself and they don't get a chance to congratulate you and to say all the nice things to you, because it sounds as if you are very focused. You know what you want out of life, and this business is just for you. And that's why you're on this feature, because you are doing amazing things. You are doing great things, and we are excited to have you with us, Sibongile. We just want you to know how excited we are, and I do want to go back to a whole lot of other issues that we've left behind before we say goodbye. But I see here we have Daewoo, who is asking some critical questions. Hi, what is the average cost of a BK prosthesis? Thanks. That's Daewoo. And another one, it says, I've been an amputee for 20 years. I need a cheap prosthetic limb. Sibongile?
Okay, so that's the thing. With our prosthetic currently, as much as we're still innovating and all that, it's not easy for us to actually determine the actual price, because also the other thing is this, it actually differs. Because there's so much factors that we also consider. Let's say, like, you are, I don't want to use the word like fat, but it actually depends with your weight as well, you know, because sometimes you'll find other people, you know.
We are of different sizes. Definitely.
So
it depends on your size. And what else?
And also for the fact that they're actually customized, you know, because you actually tell us if it's something that needs to be bionic and whatnot, then it means we need to cater according to that. And if it's something like a standard as well, and you tell us this is how I need it, it shouldn't have like your metal, but I just want everything, you know, to be in a form of your lightweight material and all that. There's also some factors that are also considered. So it's not easy, like, really to say exactly how much is it and whatnot. So those are some of the things, like, what is best? It's like, as much as we're taking pre-orders and still working on these other, a lot of other things, it's like when we have that one-on-one consultation, it also makes it easier, because at least we know what is it that we are dealing with.
Certainly.
Then in that way, we are able to actually say, okay, for this, if we were to do this, this would cost us this much and whatnot.
Now, let's put it differently. What is the cheapest one that you have, and what is the most expensive one?
Okay, so in terms of like your below knee, your PK is actually your below knee. It means your below knee. So for below knee, as much as we're still developing and all that, with our below knee, we have like a range that ranges, you know, from your 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, it starts from 20,000.
Yeah, but then you also have, because the below knee also differs. You will find others would say below knee, meaning that the person is amputated just underneath the knee, right?
Mm.
Meaning that he or she has a knee already.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also you will find others that it might say below knee, but you would find that maybe it's just that part where just on your foot, you know, that is actually amputated. So it's like this person needs sort of like a shoe kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or toe kind of thing. So it actually differs. So that's why we say like it actually depends with actually also the size, the weight and whatnot. But then also the other thing, what is the most expensive one in terms of us, you know, in creating and innovating, it's the above the knee. Because the above the knee, it means automatically it's like you don't have your entire leg. You don't even have your knee, meaning that when we have to design one and whatnot, you need to consider including your kneecap and like a joint and all that, because it needs to actually do what the other leg can actually do.
Sure. And yeah. And he continues to say, I weigh 80 kilogram, physically fit, left leg below knee. Please give appropriate price. Cheapo, he says. Yeah. So you said, to just recap, you said they range from 20,000.
Yeah, but the actual 20,000 is like the below knee, but also it depends because also we have kids as well, you know, with the technology that we also do, it is proven that you can get one like for 5,000. It actually depends with the sizes and the design as well.
Okay. So the size and design, what we will do then to answer your question, we will give them your contacts.
Our WhatsApp number.
Exactly. Yeah, your contacts and your email address and your WhatsApp details, and then they can have a one-on-one with you. And then you can then try to. So just Sibongile, how receptive are people to this? Because in some communities, they are not as well known. And in some communities, they would want state-of-the-art prosthetics, the very best that actually look like the actual hand. So you have two extremes that are existing in our country. On one hand, how receptive, how open are people to your business? Is it a business that just moves like hotcakes, or do you need to knock on doors, have great salespeople outdoing themselves, and spend a lot of time convincing potential clients to buy?
That's an interesting one. The good thing about Uhamba, Uhamba is actually a client-based company. So whatever we actually do, it's like we consider that our clients come first. And we also laugh, you know, when we actually work with people, even if you are validating, even if you are trying something new, you take it to our people as well. And you'll be like, if we were to sell this, would you buy it and all that? And you would see that our people like respond positively because, for one, I remember when we were visiting one of this other school, a special disability school, and it's a primary school where there was two boys were actually like amputated bilaterally. So when they're bilaterally amputated, it means like they don't have both arms, right? It means like they use their legs to actually ride or whatever it is activity that they have to perform. So already you can see like these kids, they are hopeless, right? Because, and they'll be like, emotionally they're not okay because they see other kids or their friends at home, they are normal, they have both hands, but they don't have, you know, both arms and whatnot. But when you actually engage with these kids and you'll be like, if one were to design, you know, a prosthetics, what is it that you would actually like? Then you would hear these kids will be like, I want something like, you know, it should have like pictures of Spider-Man, Batman and all that.
Yeah.
So literally can see psychologically that it means even our people are keeping up with time. You know, it's no longer this thing that just because I'm a light brown tone skin, then I need something that's light brown tone skin. You know, people have already adapted, you know, and also the other thing is with these colorful ones, they also, it becomes more fashionable in a sense that even if you like wearing your purple trousers or whatever it is, you can actually match according to your attire. And which is something that's what we're actually trying to bring as well, especially in our Black community, to say that it should be something that's so personal to you, in a sense that if it does not mean that you actually, when you are amputated, you can't have a tattoo, you know, on your body. You can also have one. Why not have it also on your prosthetics, you know? If you're a Kaizer Chiefs fan, rather have it there on your prosthetic.
Hey, don't talk about that team on this show. It's not allowed. I'm just joking. Hey, it's not allowed. That's a swear word on this show. This is a family show. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can send your messages to 072-702-1702. 072-702-1702. Let's go to your calls. Khwadi, you are giving us a call from Mamelodi. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm free. How are you, Khwadi?
Fine, thanks, man. I just wanted to know if the lady there, is she working with Nissan Chief and then Ankle Guards and that simply an orthotesis and prosthesis legs.
Yeah, Sibongile, did you hear the question?
Okay, I did not hear the question that well, but I think the question he was actually asking, are we also into orthotics in the sense of your ankle guard?
Yeah, that's what I picked up, but let's double check. Khwadi?
Legs or whatever.
Khwadi, try again, please. We missed the first part.
I am asking if she is working with prosthetic legs and the ankle guards and the knee hinges, whatever, concerned with orthotics.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand your question, Khwadi. Are you asking if they also make prosthetic legs and ankle guards? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying.
Okay. Sibongile?
Yes, we actually also design such, because remember orthotics is actually falls under that, meaning that hence we say for the less amputees and those that are living with physical disabilities, because also other people may not be amputated, but other people have like a bone injury or maybe one of the body parts can't function normally, meaning those people are supported by your braces or your splints or your ankle guard or your kneecap. That's what he was actually referring to, your knee brace.
Khwadi, are you answered?
No, I did understand. So is she working also with, let me say, leg injuries, particularly orthopedic leg injuries?
If you can just advise us, where are you being injured? Your hand, your leg, or something? Maybe if I can try to get a better understanding.
My leg is that I'm having a tibia problem.
So you know what actually happens when it comes to your braces and whatnot? Because remember, we are into a space of producing and whatnot. It means that we need to also understand your diagnosis, right? Looking at what your medical records are actually saying. Then in that way, we are actually able to cater something that will work best for you. Because, for example, you will find other kids that are actually born with club foot. So club foot is actually a disease that actually, affect especially newborn. Kids are actually born with that. And then in our black community, we regard that as a child is literally disabled. But that is something that can also be curable once you go to your physiotherapy and whatnot. Then in that space, you are actually, once you've got that, your medical record, then you are able to actually get something like your splints, that it actually supports it. And then after a while and whatnot, you will walk normally. So it's also best if we understand what the medical record saying.
If I may ask, are you also working with people who got involved in accidents with broken legs, hands, whatever?
Are we working with those people that are involved in the accidents?
Yeah.
How would they be? You do remember that they are doing prosthetics, right? So how do you mean working with them? Do you mean amputees?
Yeah, amputees. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Ntate Khwadi. I really appreciate it. Sibongile, he was asking, you do obviously work with amputees, but I'm just thinking at your level, you are doing designs and you are doing the actual production, right? And are the hospitals the immediate market? Do people contact you individually? Do you sell to, is it B2B, B2G? What sort of model do you use?
Oh, okay, so our model actually falls into both. It's B2B and B2C.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And so in that way, it's not necessarily only confined to only strictly businesses, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and I'm just, how do you advertise your business? Other than talking to us.
Like in terms of, are you referring to the social media platforms or?
I'm just saying, how do you spread the word about the existence of your business? It could be social media, it could be other means, your marketing thinking. How do you put that together so that businesses can know about your existence, individuals can know about your offerings as well?
Okay, so currently, like we are saying, like we're still busy with our e-commerce platform. So once that is up in life, then I think in that way it would make it easier, since our people also like have struggled to, with limited access to mobility. So it would even make it easier for them to just go online, you know, and be able to order whatever it is that they're actually looking for. So because we also try to reach as the bigger audience as much as we can, you know, it does not mean that when we're in Soweto, we can't reach to someone that is, you know, in Cape Town or Northwest. So that's what we're also trying to actually solve as well. So with that, please, our people, can they please be patient? For now, we're still sorting our e-commerce platform. And then once that is up and ready, then we'll be able to, you know, people can reach out. And then currently, like now, the WhatsApp number, you can reach us via WhatsApp and also, like, you know, via calls as well.
Yeah. And who is more likely to be your customer? Do you feel that it's the hospitals who would be placing more orders, or are they individuals who are then coming through more? Is it just ordinary individuals or more businesses that are walking through your doors?
It's both, you know, it's both. That's what I can just tell you, because even like currently, as much as we are taking like pre-orders, like from these media coverages and whatnot, we are seeing like also we are receiving like WhatsApp and calls from individuals as well, you know. So we wouldn't say that it's our main goal or our customers or our target audiences, it's hospitals only. It's not that. But however, once we have sorted some other things in terms of, you know, the regulatory and all that, our focus is into your public healthcare, you know, public hospital, because that's where the need is, you know, where there are other hospitals that can be so shocking, where they will have like a database of 10,000 patients annually, but they can only assist like 120 patients in a year, which it does not make sense, you know. So that's what we actually try to actually solve, that to say, if public sector can actually procure from us, they will be making our jobs more easier, in a sense that our people shouldn't wait that lengthy waiting period of 5 years and whatnot. It should be a thing that if the physiotherapy or the whether it's their physiotherapy or occupational therapy told them that, okay, now you are eligible to actually wear prosthetics and whatnot, it should be a thing that they will just go to any hospital with that letter, produce it and whatnot, then they're able to actually, you know, access one, you know, be the thing that they actually work with it. It should be like that, but it shouldn't be a thing that they should wait for, you know, like 5 years or 6 years just trying to access a prosthetic. Imagine for their whole entire 5 years, if you don't have access to mobility. I mean, just picture yourself as, for one, even if you're not amputated, but when you just, maybe you injured yourself and you can't use your hand for a certain, maybe a few days, whatever, if your doctor told you that. Imagine how frustrated it can be.
Yeah.
Because you are used to doing things for yourself. Mm. Like now you need to depend on someone. It's not right. So that's what we're actually trying to actually solve. But however, even like, also reach out to special schools as well, because there's also like a high number of dropouts, because kids also tend to drop out from schools with limited access to mobility, low self-esteem, you know, social stigma. It also affects them. So those are some of the things that we're also trying to actually, you know, solve as well and bridge as well in the market.
How do medical aides view you and your business?
So currently, with our medical aid, we just We're having a meeting, which is still, like, you know, it's not yet finalized, but we had one of the medical aid company that actually also approached us, and also they want to go and, you know, be in partnership with us. So I think also the other thing is, like you were saying, if people, like, they don't know much about you, it's not easy for them, you know, to go in partnership or to even approach you. So now, only now, people are starting to be aware that, okay, there is someone who's trying to solve this problem, you know, and that's how now people are starting to actually, you know, come on board. So for now, I can't say that medical, maybe it's people that didn't want to, you know, partner with us and whatnot. It was just a matter of just trying to get certain things in place. And then I think it's just a matter of, it's just a matter of time, you know, where people would actually be coming and say, okay, you would be going and doing business with you. So with and once we can actually finalize this meeting with one of the medical aid guys, I think it's also another easy way, like our route to market, you know, because it also makes our process more easy as well. Because I think with the medical guys, with them coming on board, they're also trying to reduce their cost, you know, because it's, the prosthetic leg, it's expensive in a sense that most medical aid don't even cover it. It's something that you have to, you paid out from your own pocket.
I'm speaking to Sibongile Mungadi, who is the founder of a company called Ukhamba. They are producing lightweight prosthetics for amputees living with disabilities. And she is our guest on South Africans Doing Great Things. And we are looking at the great things that she is involved with as she's trying to enter a very niche market that is particular in nature and requires a certain mind, a certain craft, certain strategy, and a certain type of execution. And they have been in this for a little while. And if you want to talk to her about all these matters, feel free to give us a call. And about regarding lightweight prosthetics for amputees living with disability, the number to dial is 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, you can send your text message or your voice note to 072-702-1702. Let me say the number again. 072-702-1702. That is the number to dial. Alternatively, the Twitter handle is also out there. It is at Radio 702 and mine is at I Am Free TSM. Sibongile, please, before we say goodbye shortly, tell us about your team. You're not alone in this team. How big is the team? How does it really work? How do you guys produce magic together?
Okay, so currently, we are a team of young people. I'm the only founder in the business, and then also working with, you know, two contractors as well under the engineering and electronic engineer, meaning those are guys that actually do our programming and whatnot. And then also I actually lead the production because I'm into your digital and fabrication. And then I'm also working with interns in administration and also under biomedical engineer as well. And then our team also is supported by experienced advisory board, where we are having people that are professors and with your prosthesis that are actually like by professional prosthesis, and also, you know, into your biomedical engineer as well, having, you know, the board, a sounding board, and also advisory board from the UCT and also from the University of Johannesburg in terms of our research and development as well, and also working with different mentors as well, be in the communication space. So I would say our team is like sitting with more than 100 years experience when it comes to your technology, your engineering, because you also have a separate board when it just deals with your fabrication engineering, because what is crucial as well with our business or the strand, it's the designing. If we don't master the designing, then it means we don't have a product.
And in closing, please give us your contact details. How do people reach you? It sounds as if you are affordable, and it sounds as if you are in this for a long haul. How do people get hold of you and get hold of the company?
Yes, we're still in the long journey, and there's so much that we still need to sort. So people can reach out to us via WhatsApp. The number is 067 and then 721-8062.
Okay, please say the number again. 067
67 721 8062.
Okay, and this is for the WhatsApp line, right?
Yes, even for calls as well.
Even for calls as well. Do you have a website where people can just browse and see what you're doing?
Yes, we used to have it, but as much as we're saying that, we are sorting our our marketing. So currently our website is offline.
Sibongile, I appreciate your time. It was lovely talking to you. We wish you strength. And the next time we speak, you'll be in a multinational, huge company that does work everywhere else in the world. All the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Thabo, and you to all 702 listeners.
Sibongile Mungadi, founder of Ukhamba Company, dealing with prosthetics.